Yischus li'ilu nishmas mi'ira chai and nachama bracha alea shalom bas Mordechai David Hashem yichas karvia amtso. Okay, today's daf is daf tez zayin, and the very last issue that we saw on the bottom of tesvav mudbeis is that there's a difference between some a stone or a knife or a reed that's stuck in a place, it's always been in that place. A knife, I don't know if it would always be in that place, but you know, a stone or a reed at least, versus something which was detached and then attached. So we can start at that point if we want. On Tezvav Mudbeis, the Gemara had said, Kan b'machuber meikaro, here is where it's attached and it's always been attached. So then you can't shecht on it. Kan betol shel vasov chibro. And here it was detached and then attached, and that you could shecht on it. When we know Temer, how do I know to tell you, the Shanilon, that there's a difference for us? Bein mechuber meikaro letol shel vasov chibro versus something which has always been attached versus something which was detached and then attached. The Tanakh is linked in a braisa, shochit b'muchni shchita sok shera. If a person shechts with a wheel, and a knife is attached to a wheel and he moves the wheel, and thereby slaughters, that's a good shchita. B'mechuber lekarka shchita sok shera. If it's attached to the ground, the shchita is also kasher. However, not sakin b'kotel v'shachat b'shchita sok shera. But if he attaches a knife to a wall and then shechts against the wall, it's also kasher. Hayatzar yotzim na kotel. But if there's a flint coming out of a wall, o kana olam me'elav, or a reed coming up on its own, b'shachat b'nishecht with it, shchita so psula, the shchita is no good. So one second, kashin adadi. There's a contradiction here. Elalav. So what's the answer? Shmamina. You see, here's the difference. You derive from this. Shani bein mechuber meikaro l'tolish l'asof chibro. Shmamina. There's a difference between something which is still attached in its original state, a reed still attached to the ground that you can't use. But if you detach the reed and then put it into a wall, then you could use it. At that point, it becomes a knife, as we're about to see why.
He's saying if you put the knife in the wall...
Yes, then you could move the animal against the knife. That would be a kosher shchita. But if you had a reed growing from the ground and still attached to its roots to the ground, and you move the animal against the sharp reed, that's not a kosher shchita.
Because
it's attached to its original state. And we're about to see why. The reason is because we're going to learn today. We learn it from Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu went to do the Akedah, the Pasuk says, Vayikach es hama'acheles. He took the knife. There was not attached. So you see that a knife for Shechita, like Avram intended to use during the Akedah, has to be Vayikach et hama'acheles, something which can be taken, not something which is still attached to its original place. According to this, it sounds like that. That's right. It would sound like a machine could do shchita. That's correct.
That's what they do anyhow when they do mass.
No, they don't use any machines. No? It's shochtim.
They shochtim one by one, they do that, Rabbi?
Right.
Supposedly.
Not supposedly. They do it. There's mashgichim, there's cameras, there's You know, I have a friend who was a student of mine who is a shochet. I want us, maybe we could get together on a Sunday, have him come to the backyard and maybe demonstrate for us how it's done, if that's okay for the chevra who's interested.
Dinner.
Yeah, we can make dinner. Yeah. But he said the one condition is no cameras because Pita is very against shchita. Yeah. He's afraid if, you know, there's a picture of what's going on in the backyards in Englewood, you know, may not be so good for us.
Animal cocoons, they go crazy.
Exactly, yeah. The animal cocoons go crazy. All right, Amar, we just learned. Second line on Tezayin Amud Aleph. Hashochet b'muchni, if a person shechts with a wheel, shchita so ksheira, the shchita is kosher. Ivo tani b'lin din abraisa shchita so psula, if a person shechts with a wheel, the shchita is no good. So Gemara says, the difference is, what's making the wheel turn? Lo kasha. Ha, besarna de pachra. One is the wheel, the potter's wheel. The potter's wheel is turned by a human hand. I move it, and by my moving it by hand, that's what makes it turn. And that's what's used to, you know, clean out the pottery or to shape the pottery. So that, since it's human hand, that can be good for shchita. Ha, besarna demai. The other wheel that's no good for shchita is a wheel that's turned by water. So if the wheel is turned by water, it's not a human act. So it's true that we learned before Shechita doesn't need Kavana. If I throw the knife to try to get it into the wall, and while it's flying, it slits the throat of an animal, it's a kosher Shechita. So it doesn't need Kavana, it doesn't need intention, like, you know, slaughtering a carbon. But it has to be Masa Adam. It has to be an act of a human. If it's not the act of a human, if it's the act of water, that's not a kosher shechita.
It's a Mother Nature level. More important.
Mother Nature doesn't work. It's got to be a human act. The by the same term, I can tell you, Havaha, both cases are Besarna Demaya, a wheel that's moved by water. Velokashin, here's the point. There's no contradiction. Habakach Rishon. When you first open up a stream of water and the first water that you released hits the wheel and makes the wheel turn, that's still considered your act. So if it's the first waters making the wheel turn, that would be a kosher shechita. Habekoach sheni, and if it's the second waters after the first waters got out that are making it turn, it's already not a kosher shechita because that's not a human act anymore. As we learned back in Masechta Sanhedrin about murder, a man, we need a Gemara? We have lots of Gemaras floating around, I'm sure. No? Okay, your Gemara. Where's the art scroll? No? Is it up on the shelf?
Come here, come.
No, it's not on the shelf. I don't think so.
Come to the land of opportunity. Come over here.
When he wants
chair there. What's on the chair? By heart.
Yeah, this is a Gemara. Yeah, this is... No, it's a Menachos. I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, in terms of the laws of murder, Hai Mada Kafti Lachavdi, a man who ties up his friend, and he puts him right next to the dam, which is holding back the water. And then, what's it, or what do they call those things in Louisiana? Levees. He puts them next to the levee that's holding back the water. And then he pulls up the levee. So, Vashkule Bitkadamaya, he removed the obstacle in the way of the water. Umis, if the man dies right away, because right when he removed the obstacle, the water hit him right away. And the water drowned him. Chayiv, that's already considered murder. My time of why? Giri di dehu, because that's considered his arrows. Since it's immediate, he is fully responsible for the immediate.
First force.
The first force, very good. The first force is still his force. So that he's responsible for. Because my time of why? Giri di dehu da hani bay. It's his arrows that are working. But hani midi, these words are only true. Bekoach rishon, the original force, and the first force. But the second force, let's say the guy who's tied up is not close to the water, so he opens up the levee, water goes out, and then it spreads further and spreads further. Eventually, he gets to the guy that he tied up. That's already not considered his act. Grama ba'almahu. What he did by lifting up the obstacle in the face of the water was just a cause. He caused the man's eventual death. But that's not a direct act of killing, and it's only a direct act of killing which renders a person, a murderer, to be killed by the Sanhedrin, by the court of 23. Right. So, bottom line is, we learn from here a principle, that when a person is manipulating water, the first force is considered his act, but later force is not. So it's not just going to tell us a law about killing, that'll tell us a law also about shechita. If he opens up the water, spigot, and the first burst of water moves the wheel and the wheel slaughters, that would be kosher. But if he opened up the water spigot and it's now the second burst of water or the second flow of water that's making the wheel move, that's already not his act anymore, and that's not a kosher shechita. So that, I think, can explain why we don't allow for machines to do shechita, because it's true that you press a button, but then it's going on its own. But at that point, it wouldn't be considered his act. It has to be a human act in order for it to be a kosher shechita. Yeah, question?
So a shechita machine, if it only works if I press the button.
Each time.
Like all the power tools. If you use the power tool,
you have to press it the whole time.
Once you let go, it's
powerful. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I didn't look it up. I saw that there's an essay about this question of shechita by machines. I'm sure there's been a lot of discussion about it.
You know how efficient that is compared to what's going on right now? I mean, can you imagine? They do, animals, chickens, they do like every half hour, I know. That's the rule in Israel. Every half hour you rest. But in half an hour, they do a lot.
Right.
They do every a minute.
They do a lot. There's a lot of shechita that they're doing.
And between that, everybody checks the night, and somebody does everything. It's all 60.
No, but I used to go to
Kaparot.
You know,
chickens are easier. Yes, chickens are easier. That's for sure.
The three shofets there, they're standing there. Boom, chop, boom, chop. Yeah, chop, chop, chop. You know, I'm telling you, there are dozens every minute between three of them. And then.
Yeah, there is a whole discussion about machines. I didn't read the article. Anyway, there are all sorts of machines that are used to help in the shechita, but big discussions. They hang the animals, they rotate the animals, all sorts of machines. All right. Now a story. Yosef Rav, Achoyed Reb Chia. Rav was sitting behind Reb Chia. Reb Chia came to Rebbe, and Reb Chia was sitting in front of Rebbe. Yosef Rebbe v'kam, and Rebbe was sitting and saying, "Minayin l'shchita shibetalish." How do we know that for shchita we need a detached knife? Shenemar, because the pasuk says about Avram Avinu, "Vayikach esamachelas l'shchot," and he took the knife in order to shecht. So you see, that's something which is detachable. Amli Rav Rebchia, Rav said to Rebchia, "My kamar, what type of an explanation is this?" Amalei said, "Vav d'chsiva ufta kamar." Yeah, it's really not a very good explanation. It's like writing the letter Vav on a piece of wood. Over time, the piece of wood splits open and the Vav is gone. You don't see the Vav. This is not a great answer. This is not a great source. Because Hakrak, what do you mean? It's not a great source. Hakrak Amar, but he's saying a pasuk. It is a good source. No, it's not a good source. Why? Because Kruz Yisusa Davram Kamashman. The pasuk's point is not to teach you that for shechita you need a detached knife. The point of the pasuk is that Avram Avinu is very excited to do the mitzvah and he grabs a knife. He doesn't say, "Oh, I'm going to use something which is there." Maybe he could have used something which was there. He could have used the stone in the ground, but he doesn't want to do that. He wants to show his excitement, every possible investment that he could make to doing this mitzvah. He's doing. He's grabbing a knife. He's going. That's what's going on here. It's not to tell you a source that he has to take a detached knife. Maybe it's just telling you the zrizus of Avram. He could have used something attached to the ground, but he chose to do with zrizus, with passion, and he took a knife with him. But it's not necessarily a source. All right, but this, again, was the source that was suggested. Amar Rava Rava said, "Shitali, it's obvious to me. Talush if you have something which is detached and then it's attached, in regards to Avodah Zarah, it's considered detached. What does that mean? As the Gemara is about to teach us, there is a pasuk, Elohehem al Heharim, Eloheharim Elohehem. Their gods are on mountains. The mountains themselves are not gods. So if Gentiles own a mountain and they bow to the mountain, it does not become Avodah Zarah. Mechubar, that which is attached to the ground, cannot become Avodah Zarah. What about something which was detached and then attached? Let's say the walls of a house. There were pieces of wood that were detached, and they were logs, and then they were attached to the ground. And someone bows to his house. Can that become Avodah Zarah? So Rava said like this. Detached and then attached is considered detached in regards to Avodah Zarah. Can become Avodah Zarah. De Amar Mar, because as we've learned, HaMishtach V'Labayah Shalo, if a person bows down to his own house, Asro, he prohibits the house. The Isak Adayda Chavim Mechubar. And if you're going to tell me that something which is detached and then attached is now again considered attached, so then how could he make his house prohibited as Avodah Zarah? The verse says, Elohehem al Heharim. Their gods are on the mountains. Elohe Harim Elohehem. The mountains themselves are not gods. Okay, so that's issue number one. Now another issue. We've mentioned the other day, there's something called Hechsher. That when you have fruits or any food item, it doesn't have the ability to become tamei until it was washed off. Now the washing off has to be that the person wants the water. He wants the water. But let's say he cuts down apples, leaves them outside, and it rains. And he's so upset, "Oh yeah, I don't want that water, it's going to ruin my apples." Those apples are not able to become tamei. They're not mukhshar. Wow. If he wanted the water for something A, and it goes not only on A, it also goes on B, then the water is machshir B, as long as the water that he wanted, as long as A was something also which could become tummy. So now we get into the following issue. The Indian Hechsher is rhyme in regards to making things, let's say making seeds, able to become tummy. So now is detached and then attached considered attached, or is it considered detached? So that's Tanai, that's an argument amongst the Tanaim. The Tanaim within the Mishnah. Hakofa kara la kosa. Somebody takes a bowl and he puts it over a wall, bishvil shetudach, because it's raining, and he wants the bowl to be washed off. So he puts the bowl right on top of the wall so that as the rain comes down, it'll wash off the outside of the bowl. So that means he wants rain on what? On something movable, on a bowl. So therefore he wants rain on something which can become tameh. So such rain that falls off of this bowl onto a seed will make the seed able to become tameh. That'll make seeds able to become tameh. However, if he puts the bowl over the wall during the rain, because he wants to protect the wall from getting ruined by the rain. So now he's not looking to get water onto something which is detached. If the water bounces off the bowl or bounces off the wall onto seeds, those seeds are not now able to become tummy. So one second. If you look carefully at this Mishnah, Hagufa Kasha, we can infer from the Mishnah a contradiction. Amrit, you say at the beginning of the Mishnah, Bishvilsha Tudach, when you have the bowl on top of the wall, so that the bowl will be washed off, that's considered wanting the water. Hareza Bikiyutan, then that water which was wanted for something movable is now, if it bounces on a fruit, going to make the fruit mukshar. That implies habishvil sheyudach hakosel. But if he's not looking for the bowl to be washed off, he's looking for the wall to be washed off, that's not bekiyutan. Because the case was, if he puts a bowl on top of a wall because he wants to wash off the bowl, that's water that he wants for a tame purpose. So water like that can make seeds able to become tame, implying it had to be a bowl. If there was no bowl, he just wants the rain. The rain's going down. He says, oh, great, my wall's dirty. The rain's good. It's going to clean my wall. And rain like that, that he has announced that he's happy about it because it's going to clean his wall, that's not going to make seeds able to become tummy because that's attached. So that's what it sounds like, right? But for that, the wall should be washed. That's not rain that now he wants for something and therefore can make things able to become tummy. But then it says at the end, if he puts the bowl there just because he doesn't want the wall to get damaged by the rain, then that's rain that he doesn't really want. Implying that if he didn't put the bowl to protect the wall, he wants the wall to get washed off. That is rain that he wants, and that would, in fact, make other things able to become tame. So there's a contradiction here. So Amr Belezer said, Tavra, you have to break up the Mishnah. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. The one who is the source of the first is not the source of the second. So what's the argument? This is the argument. The argument is something which was detached, stones, and then become attached, become built into a wall. Are they considered detached? Or are they considered attached? If they're considered detached, so then if he wants the rain on this wall, since they're considered detached, he wants rain on something detached, it could be makshu, it can make things able to become tummy. But if you say that what was detached and then attached is now considered attached, so even though he wants the rain on this wall, he wants the rain on something attached, as Kim pointed out, if he wants the rain on something attached, which doesn't have the ability to become impure, so then he doesn't really want the rain for something to become impure, so then it doesn't have the ability to make other things able to become impure. So that's one suggestion. Again, we started off saying we want to discuss the question of detached and then attached, is it considered attached? We said in regards to Avodah Zarah, it's considered detached. In regards to Kiyutan, it's an argument of the Tanaim, these two Tanaim. However, Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa disagreed. He said, Kulo Chad Tanahu, there's another way to read this Mishnah, it's all one Tana. And the way to understand the Mishnah is like this, Ha Bekosel Ma'ara, Bekosel Binyan. There's a difference between a wall that's built, detached, which was then attached, versus a wall that's dug out. If you dig out in a mountain, there's a wall to the cave, but that's always been attached. Is this the way to read it? Hakofakar ala kosel. If he puts a bowl on top of a wall of stones that he built, bishvil shetudach, with his intent to wash off the bowl, hareza b'kiyutan, that would be a case. I'm sorry, he put the bowl on top of a wall of a cave to wash off the bowl. That's kiyutan. But if he wants the rain to clean off the wall, since the wall is attached always because it's the wall of a cave, then ain't the kiyutan. That's not water that could make anything able to become impure. When is this true? Because in the wall of a cave, because it was always attached, so it's considered attached. But if you're dealing with the wall of a building, so that's not something which was always attached. It was detached and then attached. So then you have the latter point of the Mishnah. If he puts the bowl there just to protect the wall from getting rainy, then it's not kiyutan. But if he does want the rain to clean off the wall, since the wall was detached and then attached, it's considered detached. So it's either machlokes, or maybe everybody agrees that even in regards to kiyutan, talush levasof chibro, detached and then attached, is considered detached. Yeah, question?
How is the wall a movable object?
It had been stones.
I'm just saying, so you classify that as something that people...
Because since it was stones originally, and the stones were put into this spot, it's still considered detached.
No, I get it's detached, but I'm saying I thought only a klee, a person, or an animal could become tamei. How does a wall become tamei? It's not a...
Oh.
It's not an object.
No, not that it can become tamei, but it's something which is, it's detached. Once there was a kavana for something which is detached, that's already close enough to the type of kavanos for foods, so that rain that you wanted for something detached could also work for the food, to make the food able to become tamei.
Oh, it's not that idea that it
yes.
itself is going tamei.
Yes, I'm sorry that it wasn't so clear about
wall,
that.
The wall either is tamei or is not tamei.
The wall itself certainly not going to become tamei. No, the question is, because the rain wall, on the wall...
The wall is detached and attached again.
That's our question, right? Is that considered detached? If it's considered a detached thing and he wants water on a detached thing, that's water that he wants... that can maybe machshir now, can make other things able to become tamei.
Water that flows off the wall.
That water question, that right? flows off the wall, that's right. So now, Rava gets to his point. Boy, Rava asked, now to tezayin amid beis, tol shu vasof chibrol in shchita mai. What about something detached, that's then attached in regards to shchita? We saw that earlier. But now this is Rava's point. Implanting a reed, putting a knife into a wall, taking a stone out of the ground, and then building it into a wall, and now you want to, you know, pull the animal across the stone. What's the halacha? So he said to him, Tashma, come and hear proof from things that we've already learned. Number one, we learned a brisa. If you have a flint coming out of a wall, or if there is a reed coming up on its own, and he slaughters on that reed or he slaughters on that stone, shchitaso psula. Oh, thank you. The shchita is no good. So you see that it's no good. So you see that it detached and then attached is still considered no good. So it must be that detached and attached becomes attached, and it's not vayikachas ha-ma'achelas. Says the Gemara, no, maybe this stone in a wall, here what are we dealing with? It's Bekosel Ma'ara. A stone, a flint, a tzor in a wall of a cave. So it's not that it was detached and then attached, it was always attached. Bekanami, that makes sense that that's the case of this Braisa. Dumya, the Ketani Dumya, the Kana Olam Elav. Because it lists the stone of a wall right next to a reed coming up. So a reed coming up is still attached to where it came from. So maybe the stone in this wall is a wall of a cave. It's still attached to where it always was attached. Shmami, now that's a good proof. Well, Tashma, maybe this will be the proof to Rava's question. We learned again in the Braisa, not sakin bekosel, if somebody sticks a knife into a wall, vishachatba, and with that knife that's in the wall, he slaughters, shchita sok shera, the shchita is kosher, so you see that what was detached and then attached is still considered detached. So I said, no, maybe a knife is different. Shiny sakin, maybe a knife is different, taloma vatale. Because when you put a knife into a wall, it's still very different. The wall is stones and concrete. A knife looks different. So the knife, because it looks different, stands alone. It stands as a knife. But maybe a stone that was on the ground, then detached from the ground, then built into a wall, is now still considered detached. Tashma, maybe this could be a proof. We learned in the beginning of a braisa. B'machub al-karka, if somebody slaughters with what's attached to the ground, shchita sok shera, the shchita is still kosher. So you see that what was detached and then attached is kosher. When I said, no, Dilma Purusha come in fire, so maybe the Bryce later on is explaining what type of attachment is still considered kosher. My mechubala karka, what were it to be attached to the ground is a kosher shchita. Sakin, only if a knife is attached to the ground, because a knife doesn't become ground, because it doesn't get annulled to the ground. But a stone back in the ground, maybe is considered ground again. Dilma vatale, because a knife doesn't get annulled, so you don't really have a proof that talashul vasof chibro works for shchita with a stone. Okay.
A detached stone that you put them back on the ground, it becomes attached.
Maybe. That's a possibility. Maybe it becomes attached.
There is no possibility. There is nothing, no such a thing. Move the stone back again.
It's why? There's mud and all sorts of stuff. Not necessarily. You can put concrete in it.
This idea of put a knife in the ground to try and make it kosher again is silly. It's nonsense, right?
Oh, we're going to learn about that later. It's not totally silly. Whenever people have customs, there's usually a basis for it. The issue is that we're going to learn in this Masechta that fats stick to knives, and to remove a fat that's on a knife, you need something abrasive. So when you put it into the ground, the sand of the ground can help you rub off the fat. But it's become a mistake where people think if a knife falls into a pot, you know, a dairy knife falls into a meat pot, they're just going to put it into a flour pot, now it's going to be okay. That doesn't work. You have to burn it out. But it's based on something real, which is if there's fat on a knife, then you stick it into the ground to rub off the fat. It's based on something real.
But what's the problem with fat? If it's fat from a chicken, and Shamnunis, you can use it
fatty
for milking,
stuff.
What?
No, I mean, fatty
cold
stuff.
Fat
cold fat.
Cold fat.
Cold fat sticks to things. You have to have something abrasive. You could use a Brillo pad. You don't have to use the ground.
Uh-huh. And then you could
something abrasive to take it off.
And then you could theoretically use it for milking?
If it was all cold?
Cold,
yeah.
Cold.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we're going to get to that in a major detail, especially in the 8th parak. Amar Marasa, we learned. Not Sakin Bakotel, if a person sticks a knife into a wall, the Shachatba, then he moves animals against that knife to slaughter the animals. Shchita Sukshir, it's a kosher Shchita. Amar Rav Hanan Amar Shmuel, Rav Hanan's the name of Shmuel, Lo Shanu, Elosha Sakin Lamala, but Tzavar Behema Lamata. That's only true if the knife is on top and the neck of the animal that's being moved against the knife is beneath the knife. Avol Sakin Lamata, but if the knife is below, if it's Tzavar Behema Lamala and the neck of the animal is on top and you're moving the animal against the knife, it's not kosher. Chayshina on Shema Yidros, because we're worried that because of the weight of the animal is going to press and the knife's not going to slide across the neck, but rather the animal's going to be stabbed because the animal weight is going to collapse on it. It's going to end up being stabbed and not being slit. So the Gemara asks, how could you say that? V'akotan b'ludin o'braisa, that shechita is always kosher. Bein shasak and lamala v'tzavar v'tzavar b'hema lamata. Whether the knife is beneath an animal neck and the animal neck is on top of the knife, the shechita is kosher. Bein shasak and lamala v'tzavar b'hema lamata. Or if the knife is on top and the animal neck is beneath it. So Rav Zud said that's not to be taken just in a vacuum. Let's dud in katani. That braisa really is only referring to one scenario. If it's sakin lamata v'tzavar behema lamala, if you want to have the neck of the animal on top and the knife beneath, if it's talush, b'tzakin talush, if the knife is detached, that's okay, because if it's a detached knife and you're moving the knife, so when you move the knife, you know that you're sliding and you're not stabbing. But if it's a knife that's not detached, a knife that's attached, so then sakin lamala v'tzavar behema lamata. If it's a knife that's attached, the mechubar, a knife that's attached, you can have the knife on top and the animal beneath the knife, but not the animal on top of the knife, because if the animal's on top of the knife, it might collapse on the knife and it'll be stabbed and not slit. Rav Papa said, no, the braisa is referring even to a knife that is attached to the ground, but if the knife's attached to the wall, why does the braisa say you can have the animal on top of the knife? Shouldn't we be worried what you just said, that we're worried that the weight of the animal is going to cause it to be a stabbing motion that kills and not a sliding motion that kills, a slashing motion that kills? The answer is that this braisa is not talking about animals, it's talking about a bird. Ba'ofa, it's talking about a bird. Tzakalil, birds are very light. So since birds are light, their weight is not going to cause it to push through. What's the earliest time for Talis and Tefillin today?
6:16.
Okay, so the first time to make a brach on the Talis and Tefillin is 6:16, 5 minutes. Okay, we're learning all about the laws of knives. And now we learn about the laws of reeds. Certain reeds, even though they themselves are sharp, are quite brittle. So if you use them, they very easily split up. So don't use it for bris milah. Because if a guy's using a reed that can easily split for bris milah, so as he's cutting the foreskin, the thing splits. And when it splits, it might wound Nebuch, the kid's organ, and that kid may never be able to have children. So you got to be careful with what you use for bris milah. Use a good metal knife. Don't use a reed that can easily explode. He might not have a baby if the thing splits up and it cuts.
A boy never gets one anyway,
though. No, 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 because he won't be able to produce a child. Because the male organ where he goes to the bathroom is not going to be working the right way. So I'm Rav Chisda, I'm Rav Yitzchak. Rav Chisda said the name of Yitzchak. Some say it was taught in a braisa. Chamisha dvarim namu b'krumah shel kana. Five things were taught about the edge of a reed. Number one, ain't shochtin ba. You can't use it for shechita, because if you use it for shechita, it might explode. If it explodes, it might lacerate the neck of the animal and wound one of the pipes before it gets slit and make it into a trefa. Ain't malin ba. You can't use it for bismillah, because it might explode. It'll be a danger to the baby. Ain't machatchin ba basr. You can't use it to cut meat, because if you use an edge of a reed to cut meat and the reed slits up into multiple splinters, then you might have splinters of these sharp splinters in a piece of meat that people are eating. It could be a danger to them. You can't use it to brush your teeth because, again, splinters may break up and they may cut the mouth. They didn't have tissue paper. So what did they use after they went to the bathroom for number two? They used to use natural things, stones, reeds, grass. So you can't leaves. So you can't use this reed because it might break up. And Nebuch, he's going to wound that part, the back of the body. So where's one second? Ain't shochtin ba? You can't shecht with the reed. I have a time we lived in a brisa ba kol shochtin. You can shecht with everything. Bein betzor, whether a reed, bein beschuches or glass, bein bekumah shel kana or the edge of a reed or a flint. So Amar Papa, Rav Papa said, it depends on what type of reed. Simona de Agma, the reed of the pond, that's a very dry reed. And since it's a very dry reed, it doesn't break up into pieces. But other reeds you can't use for shechita because it might make it into a trefa. Okay, we learned that b'raisa about danger. Emachatrim b'basar, you can't use a reed to cut meat because maybe there will be splinters in the meat then. Rav Papa, machatich bakir be'dagim. The Zigi. Rav Papa used to cut the insides of fish because the insides of fish were see-through, so you could see if there were any splinters in it. Rabba Bar Ravuna Machatech Ba'ofa. Rabba Bar Ravuna used to cut with reeds chicken, Jirakech, because it's very soft, and since it's very soft, he's sure that it's not going to split up into splinters. Vein Makamchim, but you can't use reeds to clean yourself after you went to the bathroom. Typically, why don't we say, Yishum Damar, we have a tradition. Hamekaneach b'davar she'ur sholetes bo. Anyone who uses as a tissue paper, something which fire could impact, shinav noshro. So that's dangerous. It's going to cause the teeth that are down in that place to fall off. Amar Papa said, kinuach pi maka kamin. We're not talking about down that place after the bathroom. We're talking about cleaning off a wound. Cleaning off a wound, don't use a reed, because it's going to create splinters. Okay, we learned in the Mishnah, Hakol Shochtim, Olam Shochtim, everybody can shecht, and you always shecht. Hakol Shochtim, that means, Hakol B'Shechit, everything needs to be slaughtered, afilu Oaf, even a bird. And Olam Shochtim, you can always shecht. Man Tan, who's the Tan of this? Amar Rabba, Rabba explained, Rabbi Shmuel, it's Rabbi Shmuel, the time we're going to Braisa, Ki Yarchiv Hashem Elokecha, Gvulcha, Kasher Di Belach, Lamato Ochla Basar, when you want to eat meat, once you enter the land, Rabbi Shmuel explained, this special pasuk is permitting the Jews to eat meat if they just want it, even though it's not part of a karban shlamim. Initially, they were not allowed to eat things that they just wanted to. They could only eat from a karban shlamim. When they entered the land, hutar lahem b'sar taiva. That's when meat was allowed to them.